All right. No, I sent you the... I made the copies here. All right. So we are going to finish up tonight. Igeris HaKodesh Yud Tes. We have one little part, and then we're going to do something very interesting. I don't think we've done yet. Ever. Okay. So in Tanya, it's on Kuf Chaf Tes, page 257. So, when was it? 2 weeks ago, we discussed the issue of the distinction between the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Giluyim that were available to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, the Rizal, and so on. And what became clear was that in the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, that there were, he brought that clarity to the place of through the process of the Tzimtzum, as he called it, or running through the process of the Sefiros, he brought it to the greatest Gilui possible, ultimately, which was Torah as we have it now. And that contained in that Torah, encapsulated in that Torah, is the infinite Ayur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here he's going to give us an example of that within the human life. I just want to tell you that I saw this past week, the most amazing shot. My mati told me that in the Or Yitzchak from Rabbi Yitzchak Radvil, that he says on says there by the Bria of Chava, Vuhu Yimshel Bach, right? That simple taich is that man, Adam, will rule over, right? From the language of a Meishel. Says Rabbi Yitzchak of Radvil that Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu have a relationship of Kaviyochel, Chosin, and Nikala, and we glean many of the things that we know about our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we glean from the relationship that exists between a husband and a wife. He says, V'hu Yimshoel Bach, the reason I'm creating Chava and creating this relationship between Adam and Chava is so that you'll be able to use this relationship as a mashal to understand the relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Klaus Yisrael. V'hu Yimshel Bach, he will create a mashal out of you to understand the relationship with Kavi Yochel. Unbelievable hesber in those words. Wow. So you find that concept a lot in the works of the Chabad Svarim HaKadoshim regarding Mibsari Echse Elikai, that we use our own, the marshal of the neshama operates in the guf, and so on, to understand the filtered down process of godliness and the Aryan Soif. So here he's going to give us one such marshal. At the top of the page, Oasis Hanigles Lanu, the letters that are revealed to us, okay? And b'maisa dibur u'machshava. Letters appear to us in these three areas, both of action, of speech, and in thought. What do you mean? D'maisa. Let's talk about letters of maisa. So what he says is that is the physical manifestation of letters. Hen temunas ha'osis shebiksav ashuri shebesefer Torah. That's when the osis appear to us as they are written in their proper form in a sefer Torah. That's osis of maisa, physical manifestation of letters. Osis hadibur. Where do you see letters of speech? Those are letters that are nechkokos, that are engraved. behevel v'koil, in the vapor and in the sound that emanates from a person's speech. Hamischalik, that is divided, lachov beis chalokim, into 22 parts. Shoinim zeh mizeh b'tzurosan, and we know that those letters are configured and shaped differently to make up the words that we speak. So there are 22 sounds that emanate from our voice in their hevel, and it's pretty clear that the kuf and the chaf and the other letters that are to us sound similar is only because of our ignorance, that in essence a chaf and a ches are supposed to sound different. One of them is a throat sound, and the other one, when you listen to a real Temani speaking, it comes from somewhere between his liver and his spleen or something. You know, the ches comes from a whole different place. So, the oisiyos of dibur shehi havares umivteach of beis oisiyos b'chaloshen. Interestingly, he says here that these 22 sounds are shayach in every language. It's meaning that every language's sounds are based in the chav beis oisiyos of Torah. I thought was a very interesting observation. And he says it explicitly, ki ein hefrish ben loshon hakodesh, in the form of speech, there is no difference between the holy tongue, ubein shar l'shoynes, b'mohus havaras oisiyos, in the expression, the sounds of the letters, there is no distinction between Lashon Kodesh and the other letters. Ki im b'tzirufan, there is a tremendous difference in when you want to put together the letters to create words. Words in Lashon Kodesh are essential. They make up the being, right? When the Rebbe Shem wants to create a cow, he puts together a pei and a resh and a hay, versus the word cow that's nothing more than a symbol, so that when somebody sends their husband to the market to buy some meat, they don't come back with horse meat. So it's a symbol that we make, that we were mitzarif the sound of a k and a ow into a cow. But in Lashon Kodesh, those words are made up of something real. But as far as the sounds go, he says Lashon Kodesh and other languages, the sounds are all come from the same place. I think it's very interesting because there are sounds in other languages that don't exist necessarily in Lashon Kodesh. There is no G in Lashon Kodesh. So maybe if you put a Dalet and a Zion or something together, you end up with a... Anyway, but that's what he says. When we're talking about the letters of thought, they too are not necessarily in Lashon Kodesh, because many people don't think in Lashon Kodesh. I believe that it's one of the Rishonim who says that left to their own devices, if a child would be brought up in a jungle without being impacted from other people speaking, that they would naturally think in Lashon Kodesh. Anyway, but here he's talking about Isis HaMachshava, that when we think in words, and therefore they too thought, the letters of thought can be in any language. Shalda Mechashav Teves V'Isis HaLoshon Shem Chav Beis Levad. There too we think of words that are made up of letters that are the spoken letters, which are the 22 that we just mentioned before. Okay? So there we have manifestation of letters in the three forms. We have letters in Maisa, those are physical letters as they're written in the Sefer Torah. You have letters of speech, that's how we communicate with one another. You have letters of thought, those are letters that we think. Zokte, but let's take this a step more personal, let's go more inward. Rak shebimachshava yeshba gimel mine b'chinas oisiyos. Within thought itself, there are also three different types of letters. Sheharei, Because Kisharoye b'sefer Torah t'munas ha'isiyos, when we gaze at a sefer Torah and we see in the sefer Torah the image of the letters, hen mitzdaires b'machshavtoi, they, it doesn't read by itself. So in order to learn in a sefer Torah, you have to create the image of those letters in your thinking. B'zeh nikra b'chinas asiya shebemachshava, the physical image that is projected into the mind of seeing the actual letters is the, if you will, the most crass, the hardest, the most solid form of Oisiyas HaMachshava, where there's an actual image. You see the word Bereshis Bara Elikim, that's Asiyas HaMachshava. V'chein Kasher Shemeya Oisiyas HaDibur, whereas that's in contrast to when we're not seeing letters, but we're hearing somebody talk. So we're listening to Oisiyas, Sahen Ner Shomais B'Machshavtoi. Those letters are registered in the person's thought. Umaharaban, and I think about what the other person is saying, or I choose to ignore what the other person is saying. Vizan Nikribkin is Dibur Shibamakshava. That is not Asiya in the Makshava, but that is Dibur in the Makshava. I'm processing a sound, not a sight. That's one step down. That's Yitzira. That's not Asiya. That's not where the letters are created. That's already the next step of letters that were already created, and now I'm processing them through sound. But v'oisiyas hamachshava levada. But now let's take the most edela level, that which is closest, most intimate with the person himself, and that's his own thoughts. The letters with which a person is thinking, not because I saw them, not because I'm reading them, and not because I heard them, but because I'm actually thinking these letters myself. B'li hir oisiyas hadibur, without thinking of the spoken letter, that's called machshava shebemachshava. That's thought within thought. That's b'chinas b'riya. That's mamish, a level where I am creating, I can create new thought. Right? So I am creating those oisiyas hamachshava shebemachshava. So you could take it all the way, even within Machshava, you could take it from Bria to Yetzira, right? When I conjure up, I have a thought, and then I want to be able to communicate that thought to you. So I take letters that already pre-exist in my thinking, and then I have to now take them and format them in a form where I can communicate it to you. So that's taking something that pre-exists and formatting it. That's what Bria is. Bria is creating something new. Yetzira is taking that which exists already and now making it into a certain form. Now, v'hinei oisiyas hadibur mamish hen mishavis u'mekablis chiyusan ma'oisiyas elu atzmon shebemachshava. It's very clear that when a person's going to think, when a person's going to speak, the spoken word is receiving its life force from the letters that exist in the person's thought. That's where their entire existence comes from. Ah, you're going to ask, what about davening? Right? Where we're clearly not thinking about what we're saying. Even though that we find at times that a person can speak and be totally thinking about something entirely different. It is impossible for a person to speak words that he hasn't already spoken many times. No person can say the words of Yitzris for Parsha Shkolim and think about something else. He's got to be reading them very carefully because they're words that are not spoken often. And therefore, the only words a person can speak without thinking about the speaking are words that he is very, very accustomed to. V'nishar b'diburim v'tzirufim elu harishimu me'amachshava shenichnas abem pomim rabbis. The only way he's able to speak them without thinking is because those words have through the power of thought, made their mark, and an indelible mark in the person's mind, to the point where they can just rattle them off without thinking. But clearly their basis had to have been at one point a thought out process to get them into the place where they are engraved. Now you get a little bit of a glimpse into, even in the human being, of how there's a shayrish, thought in thought, and it goes into deeper thought, and it goes into mice in thought, from which can come oisiyos that are actually the spoken word and the actual written word. So you see the whole filtered down process even within the human mind. So that gives us a little glimpse into what he mentioned earlier, that there is the end result of Netzach HaYisayid Malchus Mipartzef HaElyon, called from the image above, Shenichnas B'Tachtin, that is lowered into a lower form, Lias Leibchinas Meichin V'Chiyus Kenaydan, that nonetheless, even though they're appearing in a lower life form, nonetheless they continue to receive their Shayrish from the earliest form. So even if you're writing something and somebody else is reading it, you recognize that those written letters have to have been nimshach from a machshava, and it's the maisa of the machshava, and that's filtering down. So it's no chiddush, therefore he's saying that even as Torah appears to us in its final written format, that it's connected to the highest chachma elyona above. Okay, so that's the conclusion of Igeres Yud Tes. What I wanted to share with you is that 2 weeks ago, when we learned the first half of this letter, so we came across the concept of one of the proofs that he brought about the fact that there has to be another dimension to Torah, and it's not just what you see is what you get. He brought two rais. One of them was the Kri and the Ksiv, that you find letters throughout Tanakh, not just the Torah, but Tanakh, that it's written one way and read another way, and clearly there's something going on there. And the other thing was the Oisiyos Rav Rivin and the Oisiyos Zeirin, the oversized letters and the tiny letters. So that very same week, I was looking for something to teach in to share with the Chevra in Chicago, Shabbos morning, and I came across somebody referenced Lakuta Torah from Ramatol Chernobyl. So the Rav Nochum of Chernobyl, the Maranayim, his son was Ramatol Chernobyl, was the father of Chikasa Zayd, the Rebitzikol Square, and Triske Magid, and the Vitalina, and so on. He had eight giants of sons, and his sefer was printed by the Chikasa Zayd's son-in-law, Zayd the Ramatol, and his lifeless father, Rebzisha, Meshulam Zisha Yitzchak of Talmich. He was married to the Chikasa's daughter. She was Nifter. He married her sister. She also died. Then he married the daughter of Reb Chaim Kosover. So he moved to Kosov, and that's where the Chikasa Zayda ended up raising Zayda Ramatol, changed his name from Auerbach to Tversky. So the Haskamas of this Sefer Likutei Torah are all written to Reb Zisa Yitzchak of Talmich, even though he was not a direct descendant of Ramatol Chernobyl. He was married to a granddaughter. He was the one who printed it. Now, there must have been something going on there, because there are no Haskamas from any of the Chernobyl of the eight children. The Haskamas are from the Sadiger, Rabbi Yankov of Sadiger, and from the Divrei Chaim of Sanz. And the Divrei Chaim was a Mechitin, right? Because his daughter was married to Rav Zisha Talmich's son, Ramatol Anastayev. So he writes here Kvaid Michutani Arabachos and the Mefurs and Madan Chalkadoshim, Reb Zusya, showed me that he gathered the Sefer the Kutat Torah from the Divrei Chaim writes on Ramatul Shanov, the Rabbim shall call B'nai Agoila, that he was the leader of the entire generation. And obviously he gives a very strong Haskama. Now this is actually the first print of the Sefer. In the second print, there's also a Haskama from Yosef Shol Natanzon, the Shailam Meshiv, was in Halacha, he was the Pesach Adar. And he writes here as follows. I saw the Sefer, the Kutat Torah from the Chassid Prisha, writes tremendous titles on Ramat L'Chernobyl. Ramat Chamotl M'Chernobyl, who is already known throughout the entire world with his tzidkus and his fear. And the Rav HaGoyen HaTzadik Mibels, this is Rabbi Yosef Shol, it was not a chassid. Right. The Rav HaGoyen HaTzadik Mibels, Rabbi Shulam, Zecher Nevracha, said when he was sitting by Suda Shabbos that if the Tzadik of Chernobyl would be in our country, he would travel Kama Parsois the cross. He'd go very far to greet him. So Rabbi Yosef Shol bases his Haskama on what he heard from Rabbi Shulam Belzer. Rabbi Shulam Belzer said that he would have gone to go greet the Ramat L'Chernobyl. Then he also brings here the Haskama of Rabbi Chaim Halberstam Masan's Neriyor. So he gave him two Haskamas. The Rabbi Chaim wrote a second Haskama to the same. So in that same week, I came across this concept of the large letters again. Take a look at this piece on Arba Parshias in the Kutat Torah. It's on Daf Tzadik Aleph. Arba Parshias, very timely. Shkolim, Zachar, Parah, Chodesh, Hem, Dalid, Meichin. They correspond to the four intellectual characteristics of Keser, Chochma, Bina, Das. Ubam, and in these 4 weeks, these special four Shabbosos, Hu Eis HaKosher, it is a very conducive time, L'kabel Ha'ora G'dayla, to be able to receive a tremendous illumination from above, U'lahamashich Kiddush Al-Atzmai. During these four Shabbosos, right, this Shabbos is going to be the second, we have the ability to draw tremendous kedusha upon ourselves. Uba'ifin, but the method of doing so, shetzorich lezachech, that we have to cleanse ma'oid, exceedingly so, moichoy v'libay, our minds and hearts, v'oz yeh kli mucha nekabel, then we will be a receptacle to be able to receive the kedusha from above. However, if our minds are filthy and dirty, and as a result of a mind that's messed up, obviously one's heart can't be in order if their mind is messed up. How in the world can we possibly expect to receive this kedusha in a filthy vessel? Therefore, we got to straighten out. He'll talk in a minute about what aspect of the mind we have to straighten out. But for starts, we got to straighten out the mind so that the heart can be a place where that kedusha can dwell. These four meichin are also the four parshias that exist in the tefillin, and also, obviously, v'shin shel arba roshin, on one side of the tefillin of shel roish, there is a shin of three heads, and on the second side of the tefillin shel roish, the shin has four heads. So the four-headed shin. Everybody knows that second shin also corresponds to these four levels of the Meichin, Umehem Nishba ala Adam. And from wearing tefillin shel Reish, it has an impact on the person. Kamesh Kasav to the L, like I read earlier. Shin shel tefillin halacha l'meisha m'sinai. That's pshat halacha l'meisha m'sinai, that it carries with it that shefa from Meisha m'sinai. V'zesha m'chazal. This is what Chazal tell us. Mordechai min ha-Torah minai. And the Gemara asks, where do we see Mordechai in the Torah? Shenema va'at kach l'cho b'somim roish murderer. In the instructions of making the Shemen HaMishcha, it says you should take these various spices. B'somim roish v'targum unklis Maradachia, in translation of B'samim Raish, is Maradachia, that's Mordechai, was Pshat. Ki be'emes, misha misnoitzitz boi ha'oras p'chidas Mordechai. The truth is that somebody who has a spark of this ha'or, of this illumination of Mordechai, who malarech taif, that person has a good fragrance. I don't think he's talking about cologne. But in order to arrive at a place that this person has that pleasantness of being, they first need B'samim Reish. Dehainu, what is that? B'chinis Reish Hem Dalid Meichin Kanal. It requires first to straighten out our Meichin, the four Meichin. Shitzorich Achonalze L'zachich Esatzmoy Mo'oid. It requires a tremendous preparation for a person to cleanse themselves exceedingly. Kibchines Kedusha Humalas Reich Toiv. You want a simen where there's Kedusha? Kedusha is found in a place that's pleasant. If it's not pleasant, it's likely not Kedusha. Okay?
Physically pleasant.
No, it just means attractive and enticing and something inviting. V'imu b'chinas mavish reyach. But if the person is malodorous, ech yuchal likanes by kedusha. How do you expect kedusha to be there? V'zeh shiksev. This is what Chazal said. Im yom lachodam sheyirushalayim vitzur shteyim benuyos or shteyim charevos al tamin. Chazal say, if somebody says to you that both Yerushalayim and Tzur, meaning both Yerushalayim and Edom, are both thriving or are both destroyed, don't believe them. Elikish zekam zenoifu. If one is up, the other is down. So what he's saying here is that if a person is shaykh to Kedusha, then they're not shaykh to the Tumah. It's one or the other.
It's possible.
Yeah. Ulaim Yamatz. The Medrash says that Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Kishi Yisroel koyrim b'parashas shkolim. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal, you shall read Parashas Shkolim, ki ilu ata oimid aleim. Moshe, it is as if you're standing there, v'zoikif es roishan. You are standing up, you're uplifting their heads. V'zo gam ken kenal, it's the same concept. Ki tzorich laharim b'chinas roish. It's got to start first with the dalid meichin, with the intellectual powers. V'zeo kisisa es roish b'nei Yisrael. That's why the pasuk, the parash of Shkolim begins, the counting of Klal Yisrael, is referred to by the heads of Klal Yisrael. Ki ikiru ha-mayach, the main thing is ha-mayach v'alev. That's where it's got to start. V'tzorich lahamik b'zem oy. The person needs to mamish, entrench themselves in this. V'zeo hemek shayla machmas she'tis amik b'zeh. If a person engrosses themselves in this, and they raise themselves up, to be able to uplift themselves upward, then once you get the head in, the whole being follows. Oh, that's what it says. When is Moshe doing this? Beparsha Shkolim. Ubedal da Parshis Kanal. What flows are the other three Parshis that follow. Ulekach Nichtav Alev Ze'ira Bivayikra. And this is why there's a small Aleph in the word Vayikra El Moshe. Why? Ki Yedua. Because everybody knows, especially after you learn this parak in Tanya, Sha'as bin Rav Revin Hema by Lamas Al Yainim, that the large letters are from the celestial world. Va'as bin Ze'irin, the tiny letters, Hem Ba'ilam Azeh, those are very much in this world. Therefore, Uksha Odom Eina B'Shlemis HaKedusha, when a person finds themselves lacking in Kedusha, because he hasn't properly prepared his receiving kelim, then they're found constricted in the tiny letters. That point that they're stuck in this world, they can't lift themselves out of the confines of this world. So, Moshe Rabbeinu thinks of himself as Vayikra with a small aleph. He finds himself unable to lift himself. Again, it could be Moshe Rabbeinu's anava that led him to think that that's where he was, right? Says Ramatul Chernobyla. Nonetheless, Alze Nichtav Bitsidei Ha'etzelezeh. Right next to that small aleph, the Torah writes the solution. What's the solution? V'yikar. Bitzad ha'alev ze'ira. The word v'yikar is obviously connected to that small aleph. V'yikar, Chazal tell us, elo tefillin. The Gemara Megillah says, V'yikar are tefillin. So what's the etzah to a person who's stuck in the tiny aleph? The solution is v'yikar is pirish lekabel adalad moichin, to receive these four intellectual koyches be'achan rab with great preparation. V'az yisrachiv gvul hakdusha ad en keitz v'en tachlis, and then the boundaries of kedusha of holiness will spread in an infinite way, and Amalek will be wiped out. Zokter Matala, v'tzorach ma'oid shaloy lishkoyach zeh. We need to be very careful never to forget this, that that's where it has to start. K'may shiksiv, k'soyv zois zikorem b'sefer. Like the Torah says about Melchemes Amalek, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, write this in a sefer. And it says b'sefer b'ksuvim. Here it is. We have to believe with complete conviction that this was not only written for that generation. The fact that it says that we are called upon to remember that which Amalek did, and that Hashem says, write it in the Sefer, that was not written only for that generation that was attacked by Amalek. Every time it is this way. Amalek hu yetzahara, asher korcho baderech gam ata. Amalek is the yetzahara who is standing there and trapping us on the way today. And he tires you out and wears you down. And because we're tired out and worn down, the pasuk says, because we are tired and worn out, is a simon that we don't fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What are we supposed to do? Al kein tzorech lizgaber olav bebchinas meichin. We got to gang up on the Yetzirah with our meichin. What? The ikir? What are we supposed to use the meichin for? Lahamin bemuna shleima, to believe with a complete conviction. Shabayri yizbarach mole kol ha'aretz kevaydai. Listen to how you fight him with meichin. You fight him by having absolute certainty that the Ribbono Shel Olam is present everywhere, even in California. V'leis asar ponui minei, and there is no place void of the Ribbono Shel Olam's presence. That's how you fight him. Is no matter the darkest places, the places that look like they are completely void of the presence of Hashem, sinishto azazach. There has, can't be that way. It has to be Malei Kol Haaretz. There's no place void of His presence. And if we are thinking that and are constantly mindful of that, azay yushba alav kedusha el yoyne bebchinas meichin, then we will be shined upon. We'll be gifted a kedusha elyona, heavenly holiness in our meichin. O min our meichin the leaven, it'll go from our mind to our heart. Everything in kedusha will always be a receiver and a giver. Every person needs to be a receiver and a giver. That's what they had it and they gave it. The main tachlis is huzeh hainu yikar. The main goal is the ultimate realization of v'yikar b'chinas dalad meichin kanal salakayni. So here you have the oisius Rav Rivin and the oisius Zeirin and a whole pshat and how that is the secret of vayikra. And that the Vikar are the Dalad Meichen, and those are the four parashiyos, and that these four parashiyos are an incredibly opportune time for us to be able to attain much greater Kedusha. Let us turn that off.